Hello and welcome to Let's Pod This. My name is Andy Moore. Friends, welcome back to the Democracy Den studios. We've got a great episode today, a little bit different than our usual format. For one, if you're watching online, you already know that Emily's not here today. We've got a special guest in studio who I'm very excited about. And then the second half of this episode is an interview that I did the other day with Tracy Hallie Terrell, who is the head of the Oklahoma Bondsmen Association, which, if you're already scratching your head at that, it's not someone we normally talk with, but I think we should. You may have noticed that there have been an uptick in scams lately, not just from the presidential cabinet, but like from here in the on the streets, like in the consumers. AI has had a big impact on this. My wife went to a conference this week that had a session about scams. It seems like this is a very pressing topic. In fact, it's come up in meetings, I think, twice this week for me, somewhat unexpectedly. And so, you know, as a consumer protection measure, we wanted to make sure that we talk about it some, so that you are better informed and you can help your loved ones. I will also put some resources about that in the show notes. In fact, the Associated Press this week had two headlines about scams and how to talk to your like loved ones, especially like older family members. I know in my household, we've talked about how can we talk to my my in-laws about this to make sure that we can help protect them as well. So a very important issue. So come back for that here in just a few minutes. But first, now, welcome to the show, Sarah Blaney.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
I'm excited. This is your first podcast ever.
It's my first podcast ever. I've never podded.
Never podded. You're now officially a friend of the pod. But you're more than that. Sarah is our, at Let's Fix This, she's the new vice president of development and strategy. You joined us in April, and I the other day realized, I was like, oh, we haven't really said anything publicly about you joining the team. You are officially the second person to ever have a Let's Fix This email address, which is a big deal for me.
Yeah.
And I'm so stoked. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, I'm very excited. It's going great, I think, so far. And we're like already making lots of connections and so many ideas, and you know, half of what we do is brainstorm and think about all the cool things we can do and then make it happen. So I'm very excited.
It is way more fun to brainstorm with two brains than just one.
Yes,
and I'm sure my all of my friends and my wife is thrilled for me not just to be texting them crazy ideas at 10 o'clock at night. We'll just start a little bit about you for our listeners. Who are you? How did you get your start in politics? What's your origin story?
Yeah, my origin story. Oh, like a superhero.
Yeah.
I'm originally from Indiana, and there was like a lot of social justice kind of stuff in my childhood. My mom started a hooved animal humane society. In Indiana. Yeah.
Like cows and goats and
horses.
Unicorns.
Horses. Unicorns. Mm-hmm. Oh man, the unicorns would have been cool. Loved horses. So she started that. And my grandpa was a leader in the Canadian Auto Workers and the union. And so I grew up with that, just that sense of social justice. And so after I graduated college, I went and worked for a nonprofit, worked for the Regional AIDS Intercommunity Network. And then after that, I needed a job. And I had a friend that was working for Andrew Rice.
Yeah.
When he was running for, I think he was running for U.S. Senate at that time. And anyway, she connected me with Jennifer Seal, who was a wonderful person here in Oklahoma City, that was running for State House. And I became her campaign manager. I had no idea what I was doing. I literally was like, what is GoTV? and we worked really well together. And we ended up raising like over $100,000. And this was like 2006.
Back when that was a lot of money for
That was a lot of money for a State House race. I mean, that'd be a lot of money now, even for a Democratic State House race, which is sad. But we hadn't yet lost the Senate.
Sure.
Right. So it was pre-transition. So I did that. And then I just had some friends here, Jeremy Hendricks and Russell Griffin, who lots of people, if they're followed Oklahoma politics will know that when they had a firm and they were kind enough to hire me to do fundraising, and I did that. And then I ended up submitting my application to the DCCC's talent bank and got a call, and I had the opportunity to go up to Michigan and work for an incumbent member of Congress and be his finance director. And I did that for about a year, and then went to upstate New York and worked for an open seat there, congressional open seat, and then ended up in the Lehigh Valley in Pennsylvania working with a mayor that was running for Congress. But that was 2010, so we got slaughtered.
So, oh, that's like a Tea Party wave.
Yeah, I mean, we got, which is, we so just interesting. Lost everything.
Yeah, it's so funny. This morning, I started listening to a podcast. It's the GD Politics podcast, listeners. Galen Druk, he used to be the host of the 538 Politics podcast. Highly recommend. It's on my weekly listen list. But I think the episode title is, like, basically, are we looking at a Democratic Tea Party? Like, are the socialists, the DSAs, is that a...
Oh,
I'm only, like, 10 minutes into it, so it'll be an interesting conversation, but...
Yeah. And so I spent, like, 4 days in Indiana trying to live with my parents again. That was not a great idea. And my friend that got me into politics was like, just come out. They have a farm out in Kingfisher. She's like, Kingfisher County. She's like, just come to the farm. And I'm like, okay. I'll just come to the farm. And then I just ended up staying in Oklahoma. Yeah. So did a lot of nonprofit work, but always continued to get pulled back into politics for different races. And then did some, you know, mayoral stuff and different races just as I'd pop up here and there and people would need fundraising help. And then in 2021... met Margaret Kobos, who was interested in doing some kind of reform. She really didn't know what. Mm-hmm. And we ultimately, after a year of research, landed on the idea of open primaries. So then I worked with her and Oklahoma United and State Question 836 for the last 5 years, while also being the executive director of the Oklahoma Association of Conservation Districts. So.
There's a shorter list of things you haven't done than it sounds like.
Sorry, I give you a lot. That was probably way too much.
No, that was great. I mean, I think this is one of the reasons that I'm so thrilled to have you on our team, is you bring a wide breadth of experience, not just from Oklahoma, but other states, which I think is a very interesting and helpful perspective. And the fact that you have been involved in Oklahoma politics through a major shift in partisan control of the legislature, having worked on the candidate side and the nonprofit side, in partisan activities and nonpartisan activities. I think this is like the, when we're trying to reshape the civic landscape of our state, being able to look at things from multiple perspectives is very helpful.
Right.
Also, I'm a sucker for anyone from the Midwest. I lived in Minnesota for a few years, and I've only been to Indiana once, and I really liked it. Indianapolis was way cooler than I expected.
Yeah, in fact, Indianapolis was cool.
We bought a little book, Goodnight Indiana.
Yeah.
There's one for every state, I'm sure, but I bought it for my daughter Margot, and we read it, I mean, probably 3 nights a week. It's one of her favorites right now.
You need to take her to the Children's Museum in Indianapolis. It's like one of the best children's museums, I think, in the country. Like, I think it really is known as that. It's amazing. It's very cool.
Well, if I find myself there again, we'll visit that in the Circle of Lights, which is how the book ends. Super interesting. And you, a little part of your history that I find interesting is that you said the Regional AIDS Inter-Community Network, which I know is RAIN, Oklahoma, because I used to work in the HIV community, and we, like, we're ships in the night.
You
left
crazy.
There just before I started at the clinic at OU. But what a unique, unexpected, serendipitous happenstance. There's a lot of syllables there. But
also have the same birthday, listeners.
Oh, we do have the same birthday. That's so funny. So, we met a few years ago when I was doing gerrymandering reform work, and you were working with a candidate. And then really started getting to know each other more during the 836 campaign, and spent a lot of hours collecting signatures and notarizing signature pages for open primaries. And so that part of that time period was over our shared birthday, which is fun.
Yeah.
I'm thinking we should do a big fundraising push next year for our birthdays.
Yes, everybody should come
to a party.
Yeah.
You know who else has birthdays around the same time? Carly Putton at Policy. Hers is 1 or 2 days before us. Okay. And then David Blatt, formerly of OK Policy, his birthday's in there too. It's like it's like Carly, David, us, or David, Carly. I don't know. It's a real close, but there's a whole democracy season that could happen. In
that could be great. Yeah, we'll have to think of something really fun to do.
Are we all Aries? Is that a thing?
Or we could be doing like an Aries themed.
Yeah. Aries rising. I don't know.
It's like, you know, it's during session. Like maybe we just.
Oh, there we go.
Have a party on the grounds of the state capitol.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. We can't ask for money then.
Well,
you can't fundraise
that's
up there.
True.
Probably can't drink.
You can friend raise.
You can friend raise. You we probably, could, yeah. You can't.
Yeah. We'd have to have an after party.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know.
We'll workshop this.
Yeah. Let's put a pin in that.
Sarah, so you joined Let's Fix This roughly 2 months ago now. He jumped in with both feet doing fundraising support and a lot of strategies. We're kind of building out the breadth of our programming. We actually have two other people working with us now that'll be on the show in a future episode. Braden, who was an intern with us this spring, and I almost always have our interns do an episode.
That's great.
I think it's good media exposure, and I'd like to celebrate the people who are working with us. This is a big deal. And so if you've come to any of our volunteer events, you've probably run into Braden. And then Amber Boyle, who was also a volunteer on the 836 campaign, has been just in the last couple of weeks has kind of joined the team. So we're really at Let's Fix This, guys. We're growing. We're hitting on all cylinders. There is an energy, I think, in our state and in this building for sure that I haven't felt in a long time. And I think it's like an anticipation of something better.
Yeah.
Of something is coming. There's like the winds of change. It's like on Mary Poppins when you start feeling the wind move and you know that, ooh, the winds of change are happening.
Amazing things happen when we can collaborate with other people.
Right? Yeah.
It's just really cool.
This week, Sarah, we have unexpectedly talked a lot about hope, I think, and where, how important it is, how we as an organization can help foster hope in the state of Oklahoma. But for you as an individual, like, how do you find hope? How do you find your sense of optimism about in face of politics today?
Oh man, that's hard. I think it's just, you know, I think that the belief, one of my core values is I just believe that people are intrinsically good. And so I think that that gives me hope and that gives me purpose. It's just people are good and we have to keep, you know, empowering them to use their voices and to make their presence be known. And, you know, and that's what it takes to build a good democracy is really just having people be engaged and be involved. And so as I meet more and more people, and we've been doing like kind of almost like, I feel like a listening tour, right? We're just interviewing so many people and just trying to meet with folks and talk with them and get their ideas. But all of those people, there is an energy that things can get better. And so I think it's the people that give me hope.
Yeah. I love that. I think that's true. I am also someone who believes that people are intrinsically good. Not everybody. There are some that I think are...
Right.
I think they were born probably good. And,
but
something...
But life happens, right?
Life happens.
Good people can do bad things, too.
This is true. Yeah. Yeah. And now, and that's a long... We could easily
that could be a whole episode, right?
Easily slide into a whole
pontificate
different,
about that.
That's
for a while.
Right. All right. Well, Sarah, I'm so glad you're here. Thanks for joining us today for this episode.
Thanks for having me. I'm really excited to be at Let's Fix This, and thanks for having me on the podcast.
Yeah, I'm sure you will see Sarah more both on this show and in our social media stuff, and just at all of the events. Who knows what we've got planned? Well, we know some of it's secret. We're not going to tell you yet. Although I will say, this morning we had our first planning meeting for CivicsCon 2027, and we're super stoked.
Yes, April 8th, 9th, and 10th. Yeah. Mark your calendars.
Yeah, save the date.
Save the date. Also, big date, November 3rd, we are going to have an event to remember. That's on election day.
A night to remember.
A night to remember.
I think we actually had an event called A Night to Remember several years ago, but yes, the election night show is coming back. I don't remember if I said that on this program yet or not, but friends, consider this your official early save the date, your early invitation. It'll be at the Tower Theater in Oklahoma City, November 3rd, from 6 to 10 p.m. If you came to the Election Night show in 2018 or 2020, you have an idea of what to expect, but I assure you, this is going to blow your mind. It's going to be so much bigger and better. There will be cheese.
There will be so much cheese. It's going to be great.
There will be a rave. There will be elected officials.
Music.
A magician, perhaps.
Yes. Lactaid for our lactose intolerance.
That's right.
Intolerant friends.
Although I've learned that Milky is the new Lactaid.
Yeah, that's what you're saying.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway, we'll have, no matter your dietary situation, we'll try to have something for you. There'll be other food too, not only cheese, but yeah. It's going to be great. So go ahead and put it on your calendar, November 3rd, Tower Theater, 6 to 10 p.m. We will let you know soon when tickets are available. Okay. On that note, up next is the interview with Tracy Haley Terrell about scams, how they're getting smarter, bigger, more prominent, and how you can protect yourself and your loved ones. Enjoy. My guest today is Tracy Haley Terrell, who is the president of the Oklahoma Bondsmen Association. You've heard of bail bonds, bondsmen, that's the association. Tracy's joining us today to talk about scams, about scammers, in particular, these bail scams that have been going around. Listeners, you may have received a phone call yourself. I know that I have. And this is one of those things that we know exists in the world, and we usually just get frustrated. Maybe we angrily tweet about it, but we don't necessarily spend the time to dig in to find out, is this real? Where is this happening? How widespread is this? And what can we do about it? Which is why Tracy is joining us today. Tracy, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So a few weeks ago, right around the time that we set up this interview, I got one of these calls where it was, and I expected it to be like a political poll, and I was excited to get polled, and I wanted to answer it, and that's not what it was at all. Mm-hmm. It was a phone call where someone was trying to say that one of my family members was incarcerated and needed bail money. Sadly, that's not beyond the pale. Like, it could have happened, but it seemed very suspicious at the time. But it felt like a pretty elaborate and like well orchestrated scam, which are the worst kinds, right? Some, you know, the old Nigerian prince trying to get you to wire him money. That's old and busted. But technology is really making this kind of stuff easy today. Can you kind of give us a lay of the land about what's happening here in Oklahoma and across the country?
Okay, so what's going on here? I'm in Oklahoma County, and what we're seeing from some of the clients that we've spoke to that have received these calls, they're getting calls from somebody that may say they're a bondsman or they're with a program, like a pretrial program or something, or it's typically one of those. They'll call and say, hey, if you give me $1,000 right now, your loved one will be released on an ankle monitor. You won't need a bondsman, and eventually you'll get this money back. So people are running out there trying to get that money to them. They're demanding it right now. And when somebody gets that call, you know, fear. Their person is in the Oklahoma County Jail. It doesn't have the best reputation. And so they're in a hurry trying to get them out and not thinking, hey, this let me slow down and take a step back. But they're just rushing through it. They may say they're like a law enforcement, maybe a sergeant or someone. We've heard of that as well. But they're rushing them to go out and get either gift cards or there's something going on with a kiosk that they're taking money to. I think some people have even met with some of them in the parking lot of the jail or just random places and taking this money from these people.
Yeah, few things get under my skin as much mm-hmm. as just an outright scam. Right. And the way you described it is exactly what I experienced. It was someone that was more of a, it was the high pressure element of it that was mm-hmm. what tipped me off.
If they had probably played their hand a little bit cooler, I might have gone along for it a little bit further. Hopefully, I wouldn't have given in, but it seemed a little weird. And then the gift card element, that's the call that I got was, hey, this loved one is in jail. You can get him out now. Like they were kind of, they played into our, I think our societal distrust of the Oklahoma County Jail in particular here. They were like, hey, it's overcrowded. We don't have staffing. We're trying to help facilitate this through some new methods. If you can meet us and either bring cash or even gift cards. And I was like, why would you accept gift cards for bail? That doesn't do any good in the system. But I could see where for a lot of folks that might seem almost like if people know that it's risky to give cash to a stranger, they might for some reason think that giving a gift card provides some sort of protection. It doesn't, but they're just as good as cash. But yeah, and then I, not for this one, but a few years ago, I got a call that was, trying to say that I had an unpaid or I had a warrant out for my arrest for like an unpaid ticket or a failure to appear, which was not the case. I was like, I haven't had a speeding ticket in a long time. But it was a very well trained, a good script. It was a guy who sounded like he could be a deputy or an officer, and I like was driving, pulled over to listen to him, and I was like, give me your. I happened to like give me your badge number. What's the account? Like, tried to get some information, and that's when he kind of got a little too high pressure on it. But is this something? I mean, while they may use local knowledge about the Oklahoma County Jail, my understanding is that this is happening across the state and across the country too, right?
Correct. Yes, it is nationwide. And it's and there is quite a bit happening right here in our own state.
Yeah. Well, and so what can consumers, what can people do to protect themselves? Like, how do we sniff out these scams, and what should we do if we find out that we're on the phone with one of them?
So a bondsman, if typically it's going to be your family member or friend that's calling you from the jail. There are times where they will call the office and ask us to reach out. When we do that, there's no pressure. There's no demand. Don't hang up the phone. We're just going to clearly tell you, explain everything that's going on. What that family member is being charged with, a bond amount. We would then let you know what you would need if you wanted to proceed to bond them out, as far as like a co-signer, how much money it would cost, and then any questions that they might have, we would be happy to answer that as well, like maybe where their car was towed, something of that sort. And then we just, give them all the information and see what they want to do next. If they want to come in the office, that's fine. If they have more questions, we answer those. There's never pressure to have this handled right this second.
Interesting. And I would imagine if it's someone's calling from a reputable bondsman's office, then like the phone number, the caller ID would reflect that business name. And I mean, those things can be spoofed, but often I think, from what I understand, these scams are just using, random throwaway numbers. They're not necessarily saying they're representing a bondsman on the caller ID side.
Yeah, they are using burner phones. Some are calling saying they are from a bonding office. I've had that happen to my office a couple of months ago. There was a gentleman calling. He was getting information. I don't know if it's from the jail blotter or where he was getting information, but he was calling family members of the people that had been arrested and was claiming to be from my office, sending out fake paperwork to them. We would have you come in the office, do all the paperwork in person.
So that's a pretty elaborate effort on his part for the scam. Would it make sense then if someone gets a call like this and they are suspicious about it to request, like if it's a legitimate call, if they said, hey, can I get your name and number? Can I call you back in 5 minutes just to give yourself a moment of pause? And then it gives you a chance to like look up that number online and or look up that bondsman office and make sure that the number and the name match and that it seems legitimate.
Absolutely. And that's what we're asking people to do, to verify everything. Hang up the phone, verify, verify, call, Google the county jail phone number, call them, ask if your loved one or friend is in custody. And then you can also, bondsmen are all on Google as well. So you can, whatever company they said they were from, you could Google that company, see that number, if it's the same or not, give them a call. And that way, you know, you're dealing with a legitimate bondsman.
Yeah. So it sounds like the risk factors are some sort of high pressure situation. So they're telling you, like, this is time limited. You've got to take action right now if you want to take advantage of this. They're playing into some sort of scary element. Your friend, your loved one's been arrested or is in jail. And you do you want to get them out? Everyone says, yes, of course you do. So there's that high stress urgency. You mentioned, like, the unusual payment methods, like wire transfers or gift cards or cryptocurrency, I would imagine, comes up. Strange phone numbers would be a red flag. Any other guidance or suggestions for how we as people, as consumers, can protect ourselves from this kind of scam?
I would just, again, verify, Google those, the company name, the bondsman name. Also, when you go to meet that person, if it's not in their office, every bondsman, we are licensed through the Oklahoma Insurance Commission. We all have a little license with our picture on it. It'll say bail bondsman. It'll even tell you how long we've been a bondsman. You can look that up. You can even go to the Oklahoma Insurance Commission and look up bondsman there as well. And our phone numbers are on there as well. Or the Oklahoma Bondsman Association has a Find a Bondsman link, and you can find our numbers there as well.
Okay. You know, I know that sometimes these are live callers. These are people, as you said, with a burner phone who are just making it up on the fly and hoping that they can swindle a few folks that day. But we've also seen an increase in, like, AI voice cloning scams, right? Where people will, in some cases, clone the voice or make a AI generated voice similar to a loved one. The one that I've seen most in the news is, you know, it's someone calls, they clone like a teenager's voice, and then they call the grandparent and they're saying, you know, Grammy, help, my car broke down. I'm out of money. Can you, you know, cash at me some money, or can you come do whatever? So sometimes it may be a cloned voice of someone that you know, but often it just is a voice that is an AI generated voice that just sounds more legitimate, right? That doesn't have an accent, or it has an accent that is like from Oklahoma, like something that sounds reasonable, that might be less suspicious than whoever the scammer is that's behind it. Have you seen those same kind of AI tools being used in this scam operation?
I haven't seen that yet, but I'm sure it's coming. And what we're recommending is that you have, like, a code word that only you and your family know. You know, those scammers can get some information, but they're not going to get this private information that only you and your family know.
Yeah. Tell me about the code word thing. I've read about this and it sounds like a good idea.
It would just be something that everybody would remember, kind of like when your security alarm goes off and they call you and you have to give them some kind of word. I would recommend with the families coming up with one, and that way they will know for sure if it's them or not.
Right. So, like, an example, you might tell your kids, okay, listen, we're going to come up with a family code word. Mm-hmm. It's going to be rutabaga or something weird. And so that way, if you're on the call and you say, okay, give me the family code word, they're probably going to say, I don't remember it. And so this is a thing you have to, like, really practice, especially with your kids.
Yes.
My kids are teenagers or young teenagers. And so we've started having the same conversation of, like, how can we make sure that we know we're talking to each other in a world where, you know, anybody can pick up the phone, even over text sometimes, right, where you don't hear their voice. You want to make sure that you're actually texting with your loved one and not someone who stole their phone or even one of their friends. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, great. Tracy, is there anything else you want to highlight about this? I appreciate you taking the time to talk about this today. Is there anything else that we can pass along to our listeners to
It's
help keep them aware?
just don't let those scammers, basically they're bullies. They're feeding off your fear. Again, hang up and verify.
Hang up and verify. That's great advice. Again, my guest today was Tracy Halley Terrell, President of the Oklahoma Bondsmen Association. Tracy, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you, Andy.
All right, that brings us to the end of this episode. Friends, thanks for being here. Thanks to my colleague, Sarah Blaney. Thanks for being here, Sarah.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks to Tracy for her insight about scams and how to protect yourselves and your loved ones. That is sadly a big deal. I get scammy calls all the time, and it's I'm starting to get worried about one's going to break through. I'm not going to catch it. Friends, don't forget that there are two very important elections coming up this year. August 25th is the next one. It is the primary runoff, but there are two state questions on the ballot, and that means there is something on the ballot for every voter, regardless of your party affiliation. Please, please, please don't forget to vote. Go ahead now, make your plan for when and where you're going to vote for the August election. And if you are feeling like an overachiever, go ahead and make your plan for when and where you're going to vote for the November 3rd general election, which is a doozy. As we say every week, decisions are made by those who show up. Please find a way to show up this week. Next week, we're going to take a break from the podcast for a bit of a summer break. We'll be back in July to keep you abreast of all of the Oklahoma Civic News. Have a good week.